Just open. It worked. He's been breathing just fine, and he's developed a healthy windpipe. Now, a year and a half old, Kaiba's having the tubes removed. One research doctor says this is the wave of the future. Ron Flatter, Fox News Radio.
An overtime thriller to start the NBA Eastern Conference Finals.
Battier gets it in. Here's
James on the draw!
That LeBron James layup as time expired in OT gave the Miami Heat a 103-102 win over the Indiana Pacers on TNT. The Pacers had tied the game on a three-pointer with a second left in regulation. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Couple of dry days. The trouble is the next storm system lines up just in time for the holiday weekend, and perhaps the best chance of showers and thunderstorms would be Sunday night into Monday. So enjoy today if you can. Partly sunny. Northwest winds becoming northeasterly, high of 70. Partly cloudy, 50 for tonight. We're mostly sunny, 73 tomorrow. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm meteorologist John Weatherby.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
It is 9:05. It's now time for the Lawrence Business Magazine show, and here is your host, Ann Frame Herzog.
Thank you. Each week we have in-depth conversations to follow up and explore the people and businesses making a positive impact on Lawrence. Today I'm pleased to have Chris English, Assistant VP and Trust Officer at the Trust Company of Kansas, or TCK, right?
Right.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How about you?
Ah, it's a beautiful day. I think winter might actually be over now.
Yeah, well, hopefully it is,
No more snowstorms.
Flowers are out, so no more snow, hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully we don't have any of those. I think when June comes, you can really guarantee no freezes. We'll have to find out about
Yeah,
that.
Exactly.
But I want to talk a little bit about, we'll talk about the Trust Company of Kansas and what it means to have a trust and that sort of thing.
Okay.
But I want to talk a little bit about your personal history, kind of how you came, why are you in Lawrence,
uh-huh.
and kind of a little bit of your history with Lawrence and then with the trust company, because you have only been there about 4 years, so you've had
right.
you did a couple things before that. So
right,
so
yeah.
So how did you come to be in Lawrence?
Well, actually, I grew up in Kansas. I grew up in Arkansas City, and then I came to Lawrence like most people by going to school
mm-hmm.
as a student. And then I was lucky enough. Actually, I studied education
mm-hmm.
and got a degree from KU in education, and then was lucky enough to get a job here in Lawrence, where I was a math teacher at South Junior High at the time.
Okay.
And so I taught there for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
Coached basketball, coached girls basketball at Lawrence High School for all 12 years, coached tennis at the junior high and
oh.
spent a lot of time there. And then, what was it, 2009, I guess,
mm-hmm.
I made the switch over at the end of that school year. I made the switch over to the Trust Company of Kansas. So.
Now, that's a pretty big shift in lifestyle and,
uh-huh.
and jobs and stuff, because schools, has, I don't know how, especially being coaches and stuff, when you're teaching full-time and coaching, that the time that you guys invest is incredible.
Yeah, it's a lot of time to do, and it was a big switch, because especially schedule wise, you go through you get used to being on a school schedule
mm-hmm.
from when you're little to all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I seem to remember it was right after my my youngest daughter was born. I was out at 10 o'clock in the morning having breakfast with my wife downtown at Milton's, and I remember thinking, wow, there are other people do something other than being in a school all day long.
And yeah, so I guess that would be different. Pretty ingrained after going through school, then teaching in school and stuff
yeah.
like that for a year. That's a lot of years in that school
yes,
schedule.
Yes, things do happen outside the walls of a school, apparently. And so, but it's hard to believe sometimes when you're a teacher, because you're just wrapped up in that whole
mm-hmm.
life that's there, and you're in that building,
mm-hmm.
and there's so much that goes on there. There was a lot of times that I always said, thankfully they built a new South Junior High which had windows, because at the time when I first started, it didn't. And so
wow,
there were a lot of times
pretty...
I would come in and it was dark, and I would leave and it was dark, and I had a full day, but I never saw the sunlight, it seemed like. So
yeah, that's not good.
No.
Yeah, schools need windows.
They do.
You need to see...
So thankfully they built that. So.
Now, when did they build that new school?
I think that was about 2007,
okay.
I think. I
think that was right when I came back to Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Now, having been and working with, you know, children and stuff like that, and coaching and being that. And you, I know that one of the things that when I was talking about Sue Hack, because we both have gone through Leadership Lawrence.
Yes.
She said, too, is it was that thing of having the breakfast and stuff like that, because you can't. Everybody else has, you know, their lunch meetings a lot and stuff. And
right.
as a teacher, it's so hard because you're so involved in your school, but it's hard to do sometimes things outside of school
right.
that aren't school oriented because of meetings and stuff.
That's right. And so, yeah, I mean, that was one of the things I found right away, that I had more flexibility. So therefore I had more time to be able to join other things.
Mm-hmm.
Rotary was an example
right,
of
yeah.
that.
We're in Rotary together.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so by being able to join that, I always thought, you know, when I first got in, I mean, you know, with their motto of service above self, I thought that's just perfect for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but, and you see a lot of retired teachers who join Rotary, but the problem is a lot of times teachers don't join Rotary because mm-hmm. they just don't have the time to be able to make it to meetings on a regular basis. And so I found that I had more time to be able to give the things like that,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
That
and
definitely.
So, yeah. So.
And now how you have a few children, a couple of children there. How many?
I have four. Yeah.
So the changes there, but now you're no longer on their same schedule, though, the school schedule.
No.
With summers,
no.
though. How does that?
Well,
was
they,
that a kind of a shock?
You know, it is. I don't know that things change tremendously because typically as a teacher, I usually worked in the summers.
Right.
I think I had maybe one summer where I didn't do a lot of work, but or I didn't do a second job, we'll say that.
Uh-huh.
It was a lot of work to be at home with them all the time. So, you know, kudos to anybody who stays home. But, yeah, it's a big change in that. Mm-hmm. But what you do is, you know, they're gone during the school day, and so I'm not quite on the same schedule. But with my job, I have a little bit of flexibility now.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of that, you're not stuck on that rigid schedule that I can still be able to make it to events, and especially if they're community events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of our jobs and my current role is that I need to be out and about in the community
mm-hmm.
and be a, you know, ambassador for the Trust Company of Kansas out there. And
mm-hmm.
so I can talk to people when I'm out and about.
Well, speaking of that then, so how did you make that change to, I mean, having math as a background kind of, I think, go works in here.
Yeah.
But how did you change, and did you have to do any other educational stuff and stuff to become a trustee?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I mean, there is a process of doing it
mm-hmm.
with our company. And I'll
let's tell a little bit about what the trust company does a little bit and
okay.
what your role is. So.
Yeah. And the Trust Company of Kansas was founded in 1990. And
okay.
so we've been around for 23 years now. So, and actually, my dad is the one who is one of the co-founders of the company,
okay.
and he is still the CEO and president. And so, therefore, that's where my
tie-in
was
yeah,
to going to the Trust Company of Kansas itself. But, you know, what we do is we focus on financial planning for people. We work on wealth management for people.
Mm-hmm.
We help people accumulate wealth. We help people manage their wealth. And then what we also do is we help them plan for what's going to happen in their future, how they're
mm-hmm.
going to enjoy it when they're in their retirement,
mm-hmm.
how they want to distribute it to kids as they go on, or to charities,
mm-hmm.
or however they want to. But we make sure that we give them an option to be able to do what they want to do
mm-hmm.
with their life and with the wealth that they have accumulated. And so we're
mm-hmm.
just there to help them and to provide service for them. So
mm-hmm.
that's what our company essentially does in there. And it sounds fairly simple, but there's a whole lot of stuff
yeah.
that gets wrapped up in that, in doing all that. And so
mm-hmm.
In terms of schooling, in order to do it, I spent, there's a national trust school that
mm-hmm.
they offer. There's several of them that are around, but I went through the American Bankers Association.
Okay.
Took me about 3 years to go through all the different levels of their
mm-hmm.
schooling and complete that. And I just earned my CTFA certification last fall. And so, which is the highest certification that as a trust officer that they offer. So.
So now you said your dad started from now. Is it a Lawrence company, or was it founded in?
It was founded in Wichita,
actually.
Okay. And so we have branches in. Wichita is where our main office is located. But we have branches in Lawrence, Leavenworth, Arkansas City, and Hutchinson.
Okay.
And we just the Lawrence branch is the oldest branch that we've had in there. And it was we actually opened the Lawrence branch in, I want to say 1991. I believe it was 1 year after we founded it.
Oh, so that's quickly.
So we've been in Lawrence for 22 years as well. And we've had a presence here for a long time. And so, and it's been a very successful venture for us, and we love Lawrence. So,
now I would think that you have a different kind of group from between Lawrence and Wichita. I mean, just because Wichita can be so much more blue collar, and you're setting up things differently than you. And not that Lawrence doesn't have that, but you have a lot of with students and professors, and it's kind of a different demographic.
It is, and it's a different way. I mean, each market, you know, presents different challenges. I mean, if you're talking about out in Hutchinson, you're dealing. What you end up with is you have a lot more that are in the farming community that are out there, out and about. And we deal a lot more with even the Hutchinson office will deal out in western Kansas with a lot of clients that we have
with
out
land
there.
And
out,
all the
exactly.
Land
so there's different out. Markets that provide different things. Here, you know, with Lawrence, everybody knows that the university is a big part of Lawrence. So helping professors up at the university is one of the things that we try to step in. And help them with advice, especially as they come towards retirement. But one of the areas that me being having been a teacher and understanding that, you know, I went to all the when I was teaching, I went to all the meetings that the HR people had, and I listened to all the speeches that everybody gave. And the one thing I remember coming out of all those completely confused, and they'd always tell me, well, there's a representative that can talk to you. And so what I always try to tell people here in Lawrence is because there's a lot of teachers, it's good to have a teacher try to help them. Teachers are great at explaining. Sometimes they're not always they just don't want to know people to know that they don't understand.
Kind of like
and
doctors.
So, exactly. And so you want to make sure that you're explaining to people, even to teachers, that the things that they're not focused on, which is a lot of times their retirement or the wealth that they have or what to do. Because a lot of people, I still am always amazed that there's a lot of people who don't even have a simple plan that's set up for themselves as to how to get to retirement, especially when they're in their 40s or in their 30s. I mean, they think, oh, you know, 10 years down the road, I'll start thinking about it back then. And then they realize that they're in a pinch.
Right. So, yeah, that's one of the things, too, because you always hear, you know, from the time that I was in my 20s when we go to those employee meetings, they say, you know, if you put away, you know, $5, you know, a week or something like that, or a dollar a day, then, you know, you never have to worry about retirement because you'll be set because
that's
you've set it up.
That's right. You know, and we all want to look back. No, we all want to look back and say, man, if only I had done that when I was 22, you know. But what people come to you know, and everybody will always, there's a lot of things that are out there on the internet. They'll say, oh, if you didn't start then, you're way behind. And you're never behind, as I try to tell people. I always tell people that it's about educating yourself, but it's also about having that resource to go to and having that person that you can go and you can talk to. And when that you go and you talk to them, that they explain what is your plan from where you are right now. Not worry about where you were and
what
to make you feel
done.
Guilty about what you've done. Because I do have a lot of people who come in and they talk to me about, oh, well, I haven't done anything. And it's almost like they feel guilty. And I tell them, you don't need to feel guilty about it. Let's just look at where are you and where can you go from here? And let's set up a plan for you now, because that's the most important thing.
So you don't have any retroactive plans?
Unfortunately, I really wish I did, because I know a lot of things have happened, you know, and so I could predict a lot of things in the past.
It could be a lot better. Yeah. Well, very good. Well, now, with the trust company, so I guess one of the things, too, because when you say, and we'll talk about this after come back from the break, when you say things like wealth and trust, those feel like a lot of words I hear on Dynasty and Dallas and stuff. So,
yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about how those actually work for people that may not feel like they're in that league when you get back.
Sure.
You're listening to the Lawrence Business Magazine Show on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
Play ball. Baseball is back. See all the big games at Lawrence's premier sports bar, Wayne and Larry's in the Hillcrest Shopping Center. Come in every weekday for the $5.99 lunch special, featuring your choice of 10 specialty lunch entrees and a soft drink for only $5.99. Daily happy hour drink specials from 4 to 6 and 10 to close. Wayne and Larry's is your home to cheer on your team to the pennant. 9th and Iowa in the Hillcrest Shopping Center. WayneandLarrys.com.
This crowd is wild.
The summer's best memories are made at Schlitterbahn Kansas City Water Park. Schlitterbahn delivers one-of-a-kind summer fun with record-breaking adventures like King Ka, the longest tubing ride in the Midwest, the Boogie Bahn, the only surfing ride in Kansas City, and the Master Blaster uphill water coaster. Plus, race your friends down thrilling slides or splash with the little ones in our specially designed play pools. Family-owned and operated, Schlitterbahn is designed for you and your whole crew. And at Schlitterbahn, you can bring your own picnic, plus parking, tubes, boogie boards, and life vests are free. Buy your tickets today at Schlitterbahn.com.
Schlitterbahn, it's the most fun. It's the hottest, coolest time in Kansas. We're going to Schlitterbahn.
Well, ma'am, it looks like it's your flux capacitor. It's going to cost you a pretty penny for this one.
My what?
Yeah, your flux capacitor. See, it's the thing that helps with the...
Okay, listen. I'm not an idiot. The flux capacitor is what makes time travel possible in Back to the Future. I know that it sounds like my transmission. I should have just taken it to ATSI, Automotive Technology Specialists Incorporated, and they won't give me the runaround. Plus, they have the longest warranties in town. What was I thinking coming here? Flux capacitor? Idiot.
ATSI. Transmission correction at a higher level.
Roses are red, violets
no,
are...
No. Roses are red, yellow, purple, pink, and more. They look awesome at Clinton Parkway Nursery. Hi, I'm Julie, and Ann's the poet. And man, are the roses at Clinton Parkway Nursery looking good. And I have an idea. Folks, listen up. How about giving your wife, mom, sufficient other, a rose? Just out of the blue. We'll make it easy. Any rose, $5 off, and you're a hero or heroine.
Sounds good to me, Julie.
And guess what? Elvis is in the building. The roses are on the roof. Clinton Parkway Nursery at the corner of Clinton Parkway and Wakarusa.
Douglas County Bank is ready to invest in you. Whether you need a bigger car for your growing family, a helping hand to get you started on your first home, financing to fix up or add on to your current home, or an investment in your small business. Apply online at douglascountybank.com or stop by to talk to one of our lenders. Tell us how you'd like us to invest in you. Douglas County Bank, investing in our community, one loan at a time.
The Shrine Rodeo and Demolition Derby storms onto the Leavenworth County Fairgrounds May 23rd through 25th in Tonganoxie. Thursday and Friday night, see world champion cowgirls and cowboys and those that hope to beat do battle on America's most dangerous playing field. Saturday night, the Demolition Drivers take the field for another action-packed evening of family entertainment. Get your tickets now at B&J Country Mart in Tonganoxie or online at ShrineRodeo.com. That's the Shrine Rodeo and Demo Derby, May 23rd through the 25th in Tonganoxie. We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Good morning, partly sunny. Northwest winds becoming northeasterly, high of 70. Partly cloudy, 50 for tonight. Mostly sunny, southeast winds 73 tomorrow. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, 77. Sunday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. From the 1320 KLWN Weather Center, I'm staff meteorologist John Weatherby.
The news
the
and talk of Lawrence, KLWN Weather Center.
I'm meteorologist John.
It is 9:23 here at the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN. It's now time to return to the Lawrence Business Magazine show. And once again, here's your host, Ann Frame Hertzog.
Good morning. I'm here with Chris English from the Trust Company of Kansas. And we've been talking about, off the air, we were talking about math and computer science.
Riveting discussion.
Riveting discussion, exactly. But we were just talking about... kind of defining terms too before we left, because when we're talking about trust company and stuff, kind of trust sounds so kind of
Paris Hilton like.
Yeah, Paris Hilton.
Yeah.
And then when you say wealth, you know, wealth management, everybody's like, well, I don't have any wealth. So let's so what people do, it's just that's kind of a intimidating word, I guess, a little bit, because people are, you know, they don't think of themselves that way.
Sure.
So let's talk about, when you talk about what are the elements of wealth with regards to what you're talking about in a trust, let's talk about, kind of detail those terms out a little bit.
Sure. Yeah. I think most people, you know, when you get this idea of wealth, most people think of wealthy people, obviously.
I mean, watch too much TV, right?
Sure, we do. And there is no doubt that there are some of those people that are out there that have a lot of wealth. But we're not talking about the mega rich people all the time.
Who already have a team working on their wealth.
Exactly. You know, typically what we're talking about when we talk about wealth, especially when you got to think regionally. I mean, when we're talking about people in the state of Kansas, a lot of people have wealth without realizing it. It doesn't actually have to be actual dollars. They have land. Mm-hmm. And that land is an asset that they actually have. Well, with land comes, there's rights for farming it. There's rights for, you know, running, you know, cattle on it. There's minerals that are down below there. And it's about people understanding what does that land that they hold actually, what is the real value of that? And one of the things that we do is we work with clients to try and figure out what is the real value mm-hmm. to that and how can they access that. Sometimes the land is just land that's been left through the family, and people don't really know what to do right. with it at all. Sometimes they've just been left land. They've never even seen the land. I mean, I've mm-hmm. run into that many, many times. And so that's a situation there. In terms of other assets that people might have in terms of wealth, most people at this point in life are offered a 401k plan through their work. And a lot of times with those 401k plans, a lot of people, it's just taken out of their paycheck. They never, ever see it. Well, those mm-hmm. are savings for them. And mm-hmm. they can't touch it until they're 59 and a half unless there's some extenuating circumstance, but without some sort of a penalty. But that is an asset that you have, and that is wealth that you are building for your future that's mm-hmm. tagged for retirement. And it's important to have somebody along the way who's helping manage that. And one mm-hmm. of the things that we do for people is, even if we don't run a 401k plan, which we do run for some companies,
okay.
but even if we don't run mm-hmm. it for them, we have clients that what I do is I go in and I look at it, because they look at it and their options of, well, which mutual fund do I pick to put it in, and what
right.
do I do? And they don't have any expertise in knowing that. And so one of the things that I do for clients is go in and look at what those funds are and give them the best way to diversify mm-hmm. Their assets and to plan for a long-term strategy, since that's for retirement, mm-hmm. planning for long-term based on what risks they're willing to take mm-hmm. with the markets.
Well, I think now that, unfortunately, since we had the, you know, financial crisis, because sure. you know, people had just kind of set up their 401ks and kind of like the money's just going to be there and
right.
stuff like that. And all of a sudden people lost their 401ks
yeah.
because they weren't, you know, like divested. And obviously there were some people that, you know, there was some things where there were crooks involved was one
sure,
thing, you
yeah.
know, and that's a whole different issue. But
right.
here, this one, just because you kind of expected, you know, the company and people just take care of you, and they're not, it just kind of
No, that's
disappears.
Right. And I think that that's, I think what it comes down to is, those 401k plans, I mean, it used to be that everybody used to have a pension. I knew as a mm-hmm. teacher that was one of the perks of being a teacher, and I
right.
know that there's political things that are out there about whether or not pensions are good or not. But it used to be that when companies offered a retirement plan, it was a pension of some
mm-hmm.
sort, and you usually had a professional who was managing the pension.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that pension was set to grow at a certain amount, and that way you could guarantee that everybody was going to get their money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those became expensive. And they are expensive for people,
mm-hmm.
For companies to run. So what most people started doing is switching over to these new 401k plans when they came around. And the problem with that I see, and I have seen, and I think people in my industry see, is that mm-hmm. that the 401k puts the onus onto the participant, the individual participant, to pick what it is that they want. Now, not all plans are designed that way. Some, they do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, a lot of them, they give you a platform of funds,
mm-hmm.
Whole menu of them that you can pick whatever you want from them.
Mm-hmm.
And people do their best to do their research, but as I try to explain to it, you know, it's really hard. There's a lot of people out there who have two jobs, but there's a lot of people out there who don't realize they have two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Their first job is whatever their work is,
mm-hmm.
and their second job is coming home and managing their retirement assets. But people don't put as much time into doing that,
mm-hmm.
and it's just because it's just not present in their life. And so
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things that we try to add value to, is going in and saying, we can be that person who's helping look at that
mm-hmm.
and stay with that. And that way we're taking a little bit of that work of that second job out of it. We're not taking them out of the equation at all.
Mm-hmm.
We're just adding to the value of that by trying to increase what the value of that retirement is. Mm-hmm. They're the ones who are contributing to it. They're the ones who are doing all the work. We're just managing it and watching it and making sure that it's diversified, truly diversified. When you go back to 2008, mm-hmm. one of the things that I've always felt like that happened in 2008 when people said that they lost most of their retirement savings. Well, everybody took a drop. I mean, 30% drop. And those people who stuck it out probably have recouped a lot of the loss that they had, and they're probably in a better place if they had a good advisor with them. But there are those who just jumped out at the bottom, and part of that was because they just couldn't stomach it. Mm-hmm. Well, that indicates to me that sometimes they were taking a lot more risk. Either A, they were taking a lot more risk than what they really
were comfortable with,
what they could really take. Or B, the other thing that they probably were doing is they may have not been as diversified mm-hmm. as before. If they really had a steep drop, it may be that they had three different mutual funds, but those three different mutual funds were all investing in the same thing. And so when those stocks all dropped, then they dropped as well. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, diversification is usually the key to getting through those volatile times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get you huge gains when the markets go up, but it doesn't get you huge losses when the markets go down either.
Right. Well, one of the things, too, is I think, you know, you said second job, but it can be very intimidating, and I think that's probably why people look it up, because, you know, you see all these different numbers, you see, you know, then you see that the stock market, and that's can be scary on a day-to-day basis anyway, because that's just, you know, crazy people sometimes. Yeah. And they're just because of the day traders and stuff, which it's a whole another topic. But then so you have that kind of going up and down, and so, you know, that's not necessarily what your mutual fund is, and you have your other funds, and you have bonds, and there's just so many different things, and in my, you know, that are intentionally sometimes confusing.
Yes.
Which, well, you know, it's a problem. You know, they're intentionally confusing to the regular person, so they kind of say, just kind of like, well, it's done. They just don't want to think about it because it really is intimidating.
No, it is, and I think, you know, as I say, you get into your job, your normal job, where you're doing it all the time. And, mm-hmm. you know, the advantage that I have as this is the job that I do. Mm-hmm. So I have access to the information that I need to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And it's not just watching CNBC and hearing what the talking heads on CNBC say. Right. I have access to information that I can read, that I can see at all points in time, but analytical information about mm-hmm. what's actually in a mutual fund and what they can do. And mm-hmm. and so by having that and educating myself, which mm-hmm. being a former teacher, I always think that the educating people is the most important thing. You know, I can provide information to people and to clients about where we're going to go and what I think is might be happening based on the information I'm getting from a lot of other people. It's not just me out there deciding, you know, mm-hmm. well, today I think the market's going to go up, you know, or today it's going to go down. It's based on what other people are seeing and long-term trends that are coming in.
Now, when somebody comes to you, when you say set up, what is the word, you know, because the word trust.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
Because that, to me, what does that mean exactly? And I'm sure it has more than one definition, but when somebody says they want to set up, you know, what does that mean? What's trust?
That is a great question, and it is a question I asked my father when even before I started in this business. I asked him when I was back in high school, because he had been a trust officer mm-hmm. at a bank. And so I'd always asked him that. And I'm still waiting to get a great answer out of it. So I'm not sure if I can provide a great answer for it. But essentially, what you're doing by a trust is you're setting up I refer to it as a vehicle of a sort. Some people could call it a pot. But basically, you're setting up a place that, or a vehicle of some sort, that where you are entrusting somebody to manage your assets. And what you're doing is, it's either during your lifetime, you're setting mm-hmm. up how those are going to be managed, and not only during your lifetime, but after your lifetime, you're setting mm-hmm. up. So essentially what it is it's setting up a plan. So the normal question I usually get is, so it's like a will. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not, because a will,
just allocates, right?
Yeah, it just designates what's going to happen upon your death. You know, I mean, in order for that to happen, you have to die for any of that to come mm-hmm. To fruition. But with a trust, you know, what you can do. There's a lot of other things that can happen throughout a lifetime. And when you've accumulated enough assets in your life, and not everybody has enough assets that they need a real complex trust. There are simpler trusts or more complex trusts mm-hmm. that people can set up. And it's just a matter of sitting down and, you know, developing what that plan is and getting advice as to whether or not you need to incorporate it all into a trust. But usually people accumulate enough assets throughout their life, a house, cars, you know, retirement assets, savings along mm-hmm. the way, that they want it all under one umbrella, so mm-hmm. to speak, if you think of it that way.
Okay.
And that way there's one plan, as opposed to having to go out. People say you can designate this for this, and, you know, the mm-hmm. retirement's going to go here, and my car is going to go here. And if you do that, the problem is if you decide to change your mind, you got to go change a bunch of different things.
Mm-hmm.
When you have one umbrella and one plan that you can update on a regular basis, mm-hmm. that's essentially what a trust is, and you're entrusting it there. And where a trust comes into play with people setting up a trust while they're alive, mm-hmm. There's a couple different things. It does avoid whatever is in trust. You don't have to go through probate. You don't have to open a probate estate for any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a benefit to a lot of people because it keeps the assets that you have. A lot of people are very private about their assets that they've accumulated. And
mm-hmm.
When it goes to probate, it becomes public knowledge.
Okay.
And so therefore, right. it's just a way to keep it all much more private.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a privacy thing there. And then the other thing is sometimes if you're incapacitated in some sort of way, you already have a plan set up as to who's going to manage the money.
Okay.
Now, if you're married, mm-hmm. it's probably just going to be your wife right. is going to be in charge of whatever assets that you have. But there's those situations where what happens to the two of you?
Mm-hmm.
There's those situations where, you know, one of you just, we have a lot of more cases of Alzheimer's, mm-hmm. Dementia going on where people, it's very difficult on families.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult mm-hmm. to have that conversation with your mom or your dad when they're going through something like that. If a trust has been established prior to them developing these symptoms, et cetera, they've already decided what their plan is going to be. And typically, we always encourage, if it's, it depends on relationships.
Right.
You have to get to know people. But we always encourage them to talk to their family about mm-hmm. what their plan is going to be. That way that everybody knows what the plan is mm-hmm. going to be. But you can set that up. And so you get to designate who it is that, essentially it's a vehicle. You get to designate where is this going to go, what's going to be done with it, mm-hmm. as opposed to, the other plan is when you don't have a trust, a lot of times what the plan is for assets, when you die, the state of Kansas decides what it is that you're going to do if you don't have a will or you don't have a
right.
trust. If you have a will, you get to decide in your will what happens to it all after death, but then it can be costly sometimes mm-hmm. going through probate, although Kansas isn't so costly going through probate, but some states are. So.
Well, when we come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the probate process and how a little bit about the trust process, but then also talk about your company and what kind of the stuff you guys do in the community and those sort of things when we come back.
This is the Lawrence Business Magazine Show on the News and Talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
It's membership season at Albemarle, and it's not what you think. It's better. Come check out our two championship golf courses, state-of-the-art practice facilities, two full-service restaurants, fantastic swimming pool, and more. Call and schedule your tour today and find out what you've been missing. Family social memberships starting at just $40 a month, and full family golf memberships start at just $175. 2013 is your year to make Albemarle your home club today. Come find out what you've been missing at Albemarle.
Allie's Village Memory Care Homes is customized care for those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. At Allie's Village, the focus is your family, with personalized care through the eyes of those living with Alzheimer's and dementia. Allie's Village is designed to provide individual and companion living arrangements, with individualized care for the one living with Alzheimer's. Each room is decorated as the patient's own residence, decreasing the anxiety of living with Alzheimer's. At Allie's Village Memory Care Homes, the focus is on your family. Allie's Village Homes.
Have you noticed? Things are really moving at your neighborhood Dillon's. And it's no wonder. You already know that Dillon's is the best place in town to get low prices on the great food you need every week for you and your family. But here's an added plus you might not know about. every time you shop, you'll be earning fuel points at the same time, automatically. Save up all those fuel points, and they'll add up to help you save big at the pumps. Actually, it's like saving twice. Once on all the food on your shopping list with low Dillon's prices, and again on fuel when you rack up those fuel points and save on every gallon at the pumps. So, get a move on, grab your shopping list, and see how much you'll save.
Now you can earn two times your fuel points every day at Dillon's. Just use your Plus card when you buy groceries, and you'll earn two times your fuel points. This offer is good on thousands of items, so you choose what you buy to earn points. Go to dillons.com/fuel for more info. Some restrictions apply. See store for details. Great food, low prices at Dillon's.
This is Maylee Wilkins, president of People's Bank in Lawrence. Most of the time, the last thing you may want to think about is your bank, especially if you don't bank at People's. At People's, we understand that your bank should help you save time, save money, or help you make some money. During the recent challenges faced by our economy, we're proud to have helped so many of our guests navigate some tough water. At People's, Banking Unusual is all about taking care of you. It's about knowing who you are and what financial products and services will best help you reach your goals. I invite you to come have one of our famous cookies and experience Banking Unusual for yourself. And stay tuned for even more Banking Unusual coming later this year at People's. People's Bank, 6th and Wakarusa, 23rd and Harper, and 31st in Iowa. Member FDIC.
Are you bothered by missing teeth or loose dentures? Dr. Pat Moriarty at Enhanced Dental Care of Lawrence has the solution. You can have mini dental implants placed in about an hour, then go out and eat, laugh, and talk with confidence, all at an extremely reasonable price. Kelly did.
When I heard about Dr. Moriarty, I jumped on it. And, you know, my husband, he was like, you know what? Just do it. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to make you feel more confident. It's going to give you more self-confidence. Your self-esteem is going to go sky high. And it's so nice because I can smile now and not worry about, okay, is this going to fall out? Is that partial going to come out while I'm talking?
Enjoy the best that 21st century dentistry has to offer with the mini dental implants and Dr. Moriarty at Enhanced Dental Care of Lawrence.
It was a fantastic experience. And I totally recommend it to anybody that needs a mini dental implant to go to Dr. Moriarty and have it done because he's wonderful.
The news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN.
942, let's continue with the Lawrence Business Magazine show once again, Ann Frame Herzog.
I'm here with Chris English from TCK, or the Trust Company of Kansas, and I just want to let our listeners know that the Lawrence Business Magazine is published quarterly and available at our local Hy-Vees, the Merck, and other convenient merchants around town, and you can pick up a copy of the Business Magazine in front of the Eldridge and where old Milton's used to be. There's some of those, we have a couple of outdoor boxes. It's also available online at thelawrencebusinessmagazine.com. And you can submit questions and comments for our guests. And like us on Facebook, where you can find out updates and information on the radio show and magazine. We'd love to get your comments and questions, but in our effort to encourage an open dialogue, that we ask that you put your name on it. So one of the things that, and with this last issue, we talked about community banks and stuff. That was the cover we had. Douglas County Bank, Ted Haggard, and Les Dreiling from Lawrence Bank, because those are our two real, I mean, we have a lot of banks here in Lawrence.
Yes, we do.
But those are our two kind of really local institutions here, and how kind of important the community bank is to a community, and how those banks and some of the other, the smaller banks, you know, really got us through this, the financial crisis. They maybe weren't able to lend because they couldn't get the money they wanted, but they didn't make, they had not made some of these the crazy investments and stuff to cause part of the crisis, and they were really stability.
And they're the ones who are actually getting penalized a little bit by some of that.
That's
too,
true. So. They get the fallback, and but they also do are the ones that the percentage of money from community banks that's invested in locally instead of outside the community, they invest so much locally, which is great.
Yeah.
So talking about, so that's kind of the local things, that kind of investing locally, and now you have the trust company is, you know, local Kansas. It's a Kansas company.
That's right.
And but you normally think of trust as being, I always think of it a lot of, associated with banks. Uh-huh. So what was the philosophy here?
You know, we had talked before that my dad is a CEO. My dad, this was kind of his brainchild of what he wanted to do. He spent many years in many areas of the banking industry. After he got out of college, when I was born, he was a bank examiner. So he worked on the examination side of things. Mm-hmm. And then he got a job at a bank in Arkansas City, a small local bank there. And he was the head of the trust department down there for 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. And then he went to work at a Wichita bank. And he kind of realized that, you know, with trust, it's a value added on service that a lot of banks provide. That it's trust officers are great at caring for people, and they do a lot to try and help people with other needs that they have that some of the bankers aren't always focused on. And so it's a great value added on service. But he realized that a lot of times that service was kind of overlooked within the bank, the banking atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And the focus wasn't always on that. And he always felt like if he was wanted to start his own business and wanted to help people, mm-hmm. he could take the trust services outside of the actual bank and become an independent trust company. And so he actually had to go and I think he spent the better part of 1989 lobbying legislators at the state of Kansas to change some of the state banking laws. But we were then chartered as the first independent trust company in the state of Kansas. And we're chartered under the State Banking Commission, so we're regulated by the State Banking Commission. And mm-hmm. so we have to go through all the regulations, which That's is exactly good. What he wanted, because mm-hmm. as we talked before about some of those bad things that happened in 2008, the Bernie Madoffs that are out there, mm-hmm. et cetera, you know, the State Banking Commission comes in and examines us every year. And so we have examiners come in and look at our everything over to make sure that we're regulated, so to avoid that. So there is safety and security. Mm-hmm. But we started the independent company because what we realized was it is all about relationships. It is about not all small community banks can afford to continue to keep trust services there, because with the downturns in the market, sometimes people, they pull their money out mm-hmm. of the bank. And so it doesn't become much of a revenue maker. And when that happens, it's hard to keep those on. Mm-hmm. So realizing a lot of banks, small community banks, didn't have those services, being an independent company, we realized we could go in and we can help a lot of those banks mm-hmm. that are don't provide those services and provide the services for them. Not trying to take any of their customers away, just trying to provide another service mm-hmm. to their clients, at the same time helping that bank continue mm-hmm. its mission there. Because we do recognize that banks, like you said, I grew up in a small community bank, just being around it, and I saw all the people there, and they are a source of knowledge for the community. The people in the community come to bankers for information. They are one of those pillars of the community that you look at. And mm-hmm. so it's about making that stronger so that those banks don't leave your community.
Yeah, you need to keep them. Yeah. You want to have that local connection.
That's right.
One of the things, too, now you're talking about yourself kind of being out in the community. Uh-huh. Kind of growing, you know, the trust company. How do you guys kind of, because trust company is kind of an interesting thing to kind of market and get out there. Is it all word of mouth? I know you guys do some other community involvement. So let's talk about kind of the philosophy, though, as a company. You wanted to help people, but how do you kind of help the community as well?
Well, that's interesting, too. We, you know, when I first got here in 2009, and I had conversations with my father, one of the things that he felt like was really important in communities in order to do that, to make communities stronger, is noticing that communities who had a thriving population, a lot of times they had a very strong arts community. And so one of the focuses that we've decided as a company to put our focus on in terms of helping in the community is arts organizations.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. strengthening those arts organizations. And we have a whole marketing campaign called Supporting the Arts. It started down in Wichita. It was started as a website, that it was a place where arts organizations could market their needs and put out there on the website what are the needs that they have for the community. And we, what we did is we underwrote all the funding for the website, et cetera, that mm-hmm. they needed to do. And that's where it started. But then it kind of morphed into a bigger supporting the arts campaign, where one of the things we like to be able to do is get out and be a part of different boards, arts organizations that are in the community, and provide a strong arts network within that community. I always said, once it was so successful in Wichita, I always said, Lawrence is the perfect place to bring the supporting the arts, because it's got such a great arts community. And you see with all the stuff going on downtown, the new Polar Building, et cetera, that it's opening, and the Lawrence Arts Center down there, it's just, it is a thriving arts community, and people come from all other communities to here because they enjoy the arts, and it helps anchor some of those communities in Douglas County as well. Yeah, so we get out in town here to do that stuff too.
Yeah, well, having an arts community, is one of the things we've had the Arts Center on here, and we've championed them, and our first cover of our magazine was the Arts Center, because we love them and the work that they do. I think it's key to the having the healthy community when you have that kind of
right.
So, and the arts need support. It's a different kind of support than you can get through events and stuff, like, you know, sports is a great thing, and I'm glad we have a lot of sports and
but
it's a different type of.
But it is. I mean, I think sports has a natural following. A lot of people just love it, and people are willing to give to it, and we've seen that has been an industry that's taken off. But arts is another industry that needs help along the way, and as being on several boards myself, realizing grant funding and all that's out there, especially through the state of Kansas and what's happened with the Arts Commission there, it dries up.
Right.
It's not something that we can depend on. And, politics aside, one of the things that everybody understands is there still needs to be money out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that my dad believes wholeheartedly is that, when the government or somebody else is not stepping up, private industry can step up to the plate. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to be a front runner in stepping up. And so we started this Supporting the Arts campaign, and we do sponsor shows at the Lawrence Arts Center, the Nutcracker. We've sponsored that the last couple of years.
Nice.
We've been sponsoring shows at the Theater Lawrence, and did some sponsorship with their new building, et cetera. And so
that's great.
There's lots of venues.
That's going to be opening here in a couple of weeks.
That's right. The Lawrence Children's Choir. Mm-hmm. We do some sponsorship with the Lawrence Children's Choir. So it's just a matter of giving back to those organizations, because they are what's right for the community, and it just makes that community better. So
one of the things when we were talking about too off the air, we're talking about business growing and stuff like that. Now, how do you see the business, like your business, changing and growing over the years? Because has it changed a lot since you've been in there, and with adapting to the economy? How do you see this growing and changing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it always has to change, and it always has to always have to keep on top of what's going on financially.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think the reality is, no matter what happens in our society and where the money goes and what industries are out there that are doing well at different times, the one thing that's always constant is there's always going to be people out there that need some assistance with managing their assets.
Yeah.
And what I have found with this business is transitioning from being a teacher to this business has not been extremely difficult, simply because being a teacher, you have to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
In this business, it's all about communication. It's all about explaining to people what their options are, giving them information, and then developing a relationship with people. And when you develop that relationship, you really care about what happens to them. And when you care about what happens to them, you make sure you're setting up that plan for what goes on. Now, there's always changes that can happen in that plan, but having that person on your side who recognizes these are the changes, and knowing that family says, we need to talk about how this changes, that's a valuable asset. Because as I know my wife, she has a business. She is way too wrapped up with her daily life to realize what all the changes that are going on are.
Definitely.
So to have somebody to tell them, a person, small business owner, or or just a retired person, mm-hmm. do I need to make some changes and updates to my plan? And having that person mm-hmm. to go to, that's what I like. I mean, I love doing that because we can really help those people.
So you create a trust
uh-huh.
with your a sense of trust. They have to trust you.
Essentially, they have to trust you. You
send
that sense of trust is very important.
Now, one of the things, do people, when you're set up these things, do you have, obviously situational things that change, but do you have people come in then like on a yearly basis and just kind of talk about where they are? Do you kind of have that kind of updates? Is that what
yeah.
you guys set it up to kind of keep moving forward?
For some, mm-hmm. it's up to people. It's knowing your clients
yeah.
and it's knowing the people that you work with and how often they want you to come and talk to them. Some people
don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they say, you know, you're doing a great job. Leave me alone. If you do something, I'll give you a call. And usually that's not a fun phone call, but you know, but typically, for the most part, we check in on a regular basis with them. We do different events. We try to utilize things here in mm-hmm. town for where we try to get clients to come out and support some of the things that we like to support. And,
mm-hmm.
We just try to – it's like I said, it's my father always put it as you get the opportunity to manage money for your friends is what you get to do.
Well, that's
and he
nice.
Said – and it is. Mm-hmm. It is what you tend to find is even if you didn't know these people before they walked in the door, you tend over the years you tend to become friends.
Well, you're dealing with like you said earlier, a lot of people like to keep these things very private and stuff.
Yes.
So you're dealing with a lot of private issues and
yes.
personal issues for people as they're telling you, like, you know, well, I just don't want my brother to get anything, you know.
Very much.
You know?
Yes.
So you're.
And sometimes we have to be the bad guy when
yeah.
when it comes down to things like that, but. You're right. There is privacy that's involved, and there's confidentiality that's mm-hmm. involved with a lot of the things that we deal with. And so, it's knowing people and handling what it is that needs to be done with them. And
because we're dealing with things that are so personal as people's finances.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they do have to have a sense of trust. People do have
yeah.
to, you know, understand and know that somebody has really got their back.
Right.
Now, one other thing too is has the because. We were talking about computer science and stuff
uh-huh.
earlier too. The internet though, with change, just how things change. I mean, it's that keeps evolving and changing so much.
Oh yeah.
And just in the last few years, have you seen that change? How you guys do business?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had to adapt in that. A lot of times the clientele that we end up working with, many times that they're retired people. So sometimes change in terms of that idea comes slowly. But
mm-hmm.
marketing wise, we have to speak to different demographic of people.
Right.
And now you have a lot of people who've grown up with social media being mm-hmm. a lot of the marketing that you do. And so we've had to, we have newer, younger people who come into our marketing department. We have to try different things and do that in terms of that. The other thing is a lot more people do things online and mm-hmm. we provide online access and e-statements. People
right.
don't like to get stuff in the mail anymore. They'd rather get emails mm-hmm. and stuff sometimes. And so we've had to provide more technology and support that way for it, but it's always about keeping up. So.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because sometimes I think the internet, everybody says it makes things easier and sometimes it makes things more complicated because
yeah.
the people – demands and stuff. Like everything wants things instantly, and things don't always necessarily happen that
no,
way.
No, and that's why when we talk to people, we do talk about long-term plan. The other thing mm-hmm. that I think can be bad about the internet is sometimes it's great for information, but one of the things I've always known as a teacher, and I tried to, as a math teacher, you didn't always talk about the internet, but one of the things you talk about is you talk about logic,
mm-hmm.
and you talk about arguments and making a logical argument. And so I tried to instill in a lot of kids when they were growing up the idea that don't just read – whatever you read isn't necessarily a fact.
Right.
And there's a lot of information out there that's misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to consider who the sources are. And, I mean, even for me, I have to verify the people that I read, and I have to verify what are their credentials and what do they believe.
And also, what is their goal? Are they just
exactly.
trying to sell you something that, or what are they not telling you as well? So.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has to benefit themselves in some way, but you want to find out what's the ultimate goal in that.
Right.
Is there altruistic nature to people, or is
right.
it more of a selfish tone
yeah.
that they're taking?
So definitely. So, I mean, because one of the things, too, when you're doing financial is it's such a, it can be, when people are dealing with money, it's always kind of a scary issue sometimes, when
oh,
you're
yeah.
trusting people. So it's really nice when you know people you're working with. And
oh,
stuff.
That's right.
So it's great. Well, we're going to have to wrap up here. Thank you so much for being with us, Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And you guys have, with all the different, starting to, so when people start seeing the TCK around town, yeah. You've been around here, but this start putting the face and the names together.
Yeah, and you know, if anybody, the only thing I can say is if, you know, people know me and see me out and about, feel free to come and talk to me about anything. I mean, I'm pretty easy to talk to.
You are pretty easy to talk to. Well, thank you, and we'll put your, we'll have a link to your website from our website, so if people want to get your information. So I know a lot more about trust and what you get, the company does. This has been informative. Thank you.
I'm good.
The Lawrence Business Magazine, you can like online at lawrencebusinessmagazine.com and like us on Facebook for updates. Every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. here on KLWN 1320, redefining the concept of business.
This is the news and talk of Lawrence, 1320 KLWN, Lawrence.
Fox News Radio, I'm Dave Anthony. He once vowed to close Guantanamo. Today, President Obama will again make his case in a major